we have Dr. Thomas Chan with us. He has a, apparently he has a PhD in positive developmental psychology from Claremont Graduate University. He was a postdoc fellow at Johns Hopkins with a focus on building applications and technologies to promote brain and cognitive health. I don't know why I needed to say that like a robot. Ahoy, ahoy, welcome to Head Games, the science and psychology of sports. I'm Dr. Brett Levine, joined as always by Dr. Ben Rosenberg. Ben, how are you?
Feeling great this morning, Brett. Feeling great. How about you, Ben?
Day at a time, that's all we can do.
Indeed.
So we are eventually getting back around to the whole Gronk Brady fiasco of them no longer being on the Patriots and them going to Tampa Bay of all places. We're a little late to this, but I think it's nice to talk about, number one, and number two, I think we have a really cool expert who can weigh in on what's been going on and maybe some of the intentions or like the psychological side of why Gronk decided to come out of retirement, why Brady's still playing, why maybe they both went to Tampa Bay. We have Dr. Thomas Chan with us. Dr. Chan has a PhD in positive developmental psychology from Claremont Graduate University. He's now a professor of psychology and health equity at California State University of Northridge. You studied gerontology. I think that's really cool, and we want to know a little bit more about what that is and, you know, tell the listeners and the viewers what that's all about. But Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This has been a long time coming. I love you guys' work. You know, we work together and we text about sports. So it's great to just be on your podcast and experience this all. Yeah. And just a little bit about my work. So the study of gerontology, what is that? So it's a study of aging, right? We all age, and especially professional athletes, they do it on an accelerated rate, right? If you think about it, right? They start their careers from early on, like peewee, like sports, right? And then they go through the ranks of high school and college, and they become professionals in their 20s usually, and they usually leave in their 20s. So there's this psychological and mental part, and there's this also this functioning part, the physical and the cognitive, right? How the brain functions. So it's fascinating to me because people in sports, professional sports, they age, right, in an accelerated manner. So that's where like my expertise is in.
Well, then it's great to have you on the show because I think there's a lot of questions about Gronk. Let's start mm-hmm. with, I think that's a good starting point. So here is this superstar. He's a superstar mm-hmm. athlete. Yeah. He's a great personality. He's playing for one of the best franchises ever. And then he retires out of nowhere. I don't say out of nowhere. He was hurt. He had some things going on, but
He kind of alluded to retiring for on and off for a while. So it wasn't fully unexpected, but it's still, he's at like basically the height of his powers, right? He's like a little bit injured, but you can tell he still had it. He's pretty young still.
Yeah. So I think a question for you is, why did he come out of retirement?
Yeah. So just there's a lot of parallels to him, but he retired at one thing to consider is at age 29, right? That's relatively young. But you could ask him. He had multiple reasons, but it's a lot of it is honestly just physical, right? And the physical, right, really the body impacts the mind as well, right? He had all these injuries during his career, the shoulder injuries, during his whole career. Even before he went into the NFL, right, he was in Arizona. He had to sit out a whole year, right, because he had surgery on something. So it's like, his career is hampered by these injuries. So that's probably the main reason, just like Megatron, right? That's why he left, right? Because these physical injuries literally hampered his state of mind, right? Right. So those are really connected to each other, you know? Yeah. So that's probably the reason, like we all could probably see why he retired. But it's the recovery process of why some people come out of retirement, which I was so fascinated about. Hmm. Yeah, because I saw this in him. He was, like you said, alluded to, he is a personality, right? So he did this thing. It's like about like I call it occupational sampling, right? So when you retire from professional sports, right, what do you do next is the question, right? And he's still young and vibrant. He's a good looking guy, right? And doing all this stuff. You know, he was doing this cruise line stuff.
Yeah.
He was doing this, the professional wrestling. He was doing some commentating, and he was doing decent in all of them, you know. But since I think the factor is because he was still young, he still had this itch, right? We call this the itch to come back, and finding that purpose and doing the sampling.
Yeah.
And the, so that's like the internal psychological part. But then there,
right.
But when you talk about getting unretiring back into the professional sports, you have to think about like two circles, right? The internal person, but then also the demands, right? What is the environment, right? Just think about in the NFL, tight end is a really unique situation, a really unique position, right? Especially if you're really good at it. Look at that, because there's always going to be a demand there just because there's so many mismatches that are caused from that. Just, that's why they wanted the Cowboys wanted Jason Witten back, even though he was doing all this ESPN
broadcasting.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a dichotomy, though. I think what you're getting at is like these guys are like young. Mm-hmm. He's 30 years old. He still wants to be doing stuff. Mm-hmm. He's still active. But to your point, the physical demands of the sport really started to wear on him. I think he had, I'm seeing now, 20 concussions and 9 surgeries.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Jesus. So I don't blame him for retiring, but also being young and saying, like, I want to keep doing stuff. So what you're saying is he's still active. He's still anxious. That's what brought him back to the game.
Yeah. And there's we all have this search for meaning and purpose, right? And this is why I'm so interested with professional athletes. Imagine like your whole life, you're planning and doing something for 20 years, and then that gets taken away from you. We see this in retirees a lot. What do they do after work, right? 9 to 5 is such a big structure in a lot of people's lives. Yeah. So what if you take that away?
Right.
So there's that like, it's almost like that soul searching stage. You know, you see this usually in midlife and in the around 65 for regular people, but for athletes it's really fascinating because it's in usually for NFL players the late 20s.
So Tom, what do you think sets Gronk apart from other players who've similarly retired when they were still at the height of their powers? Like I'm thinking of Patrick Willis, right? We're Niners fans. Mm-hmm. Like he was still arguably best linebacker in the game. And he's like, I'm hanging him up. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Megatron years ago, Barry Sanders, like these guys didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
So what sets Gronk apart from some of these other players? Why did he decide to come backwards? These other guys didn't, you think?
That's a great question. I think something that everybody is addicted to is volatility.
Hmm.
You know, organizations and people themselves, right? So you don't know what you're going to get out of a given year, right? So you see like potential in somebody, right? Just as like in relationships, right? You want some volatility instead of just predictability. So when I got getting back at the demand part, right? Tampa Bay needed, the situation was ripe, right, for Gronk, right? He has a quarterback he trusts. And then the organization there, right, needed a tight end, even though they have O.J. Mayo there. Well, not O.J. Mayo, O.J. Howard, right? O.J. Howard?
O.J. Mayo.
O.J. Mayo.
He's a safety at NSC, right?
Yeah. O.J. Mayo is a basketball
played
player.
He did go to SC, but he was basketball.
Who's the Mayo? Yeah. Who's the Mayo? Oh, Taylor Mays. I'm thinking of Taylor Mays.
Mays, also USC. Yeah.
Well, what differentiated, I think, just because they saw the potential, arguably Gronk is one of the top three tight ends, right, in all of all time, right?
Yeah.
I would say Antonio Gates and Gonzalez, right, maybe ahead of him. But that's – so though that volatility, he still had a lot left in the tank, but you don't know what he has left, right? And he had the right mentality coming in because he was all healed up. So I think that was just a perfect storm, essentially. The demand was there, and then he was there psychologically.
So he had taken, you think, the time to kind of heal physically and psychologically to the point where he felt like he could fit in and fill this demand that the Bucks had.
Yeah, and the Bucks saw, like, potentials, like, unbridled potential. Like, wow, this guy, if he's healthy, right? They always qualify. If he's healthy, he could be the top blank NFL. So that's the volatility I'm talking about on the GM level. And the Patriots also got an asset, right? Didn't they trade? Again, they got a late round pick,
or something. Yeah. I mean, so. And if you think about it from the Bucks pitching this to him, their perspective, they come at him with his quarterback, Tom Brady, and they have two top 10 arguably wide receivers, right? So they're saying, yo, now we have offensive coach in Bruce Arians, we have the QB, we have two dope ass wide receivers, come and slot in, and now we're immediately a top 5 or 10 offense in the league right away with you. Yep. So that's, I think, a pretty strong argument for him kind of fitting in, like you were saying.
Yeah, if they were rebuilding, I'm pretty sure. Not sure he would want. Right. Well, I'm not even sure Brady would go if they were rebuilding, right?
Probably not. No. He's a Super Bowl kind of guy.
Yeah. Tom, question for you. Who's next to come out of retirement?
In the NFL or just in MLB or anything? Because
I'll give you any professional sport. I want a prediction out of you. We're talking a lot about Gronk, but give me another name.
So another name. So I said like the person, and then there's the situation. So I think the MLB and NBA, because they're shortened seasons, are going to be ripe for people just to come out of retirement, especially if they're into it and you see this sampling, right? So somebody I've been keeping my eye on, and he's made news recently, is Dwayne Wade, right? He's commenting all on Nick Cannon's, like, you guys know about the Nick Cannon anti-Semite. So I think Dwayne Wade is getting himself in the mix, and because it's a shortened season, if the Heat want, they're in that bubble, right? Yeah, so I think Dwayne Wade has, if the situation is right, he's ripe to just come back.
That's a big name, Tom.
Yeah.
Can we mark that? Like, can I go to Vegas with that?
Well,
and put some money on it?
There has to be a demand there, right? Because I think also with the shortened NBA, I think there might be some injuries, you know, it could be catastrophic. Even like a 2 weeks, right? Sprained ankle, high ankle sprain could be catastrophic. So they might just need replacement. So he's
Bam Adebayo's on the phone, like hollering it. Call Wade right now.
Yeah,
we need you, bro.
Yeah, maybe.
So why the prediction? Just because like you see him tweeting and he seems active. Like what's giving it away?
Yeah, the sampling, right? He has a lot of other. I think him and his wife Gabrielle Union, they have all these other endeavors, right? But it's like that purpose, searching for purpose I was talking to you about, right? So that's that internal, what you're just seeing in, I guess, in the public eye, right? And plus people, the organization probably sees potential in him with this shortened, imagine having another championship or another chip just for less work, right? Less grind than the season usually allows. So that's what I'm just seeing. The combination of the two creating a good storm, right? The perfect storm is if like maybe somebody gets injured and they need a demand that he could just fill right in, you know?
Yeah.
So you keep talking about this sampling that guys do kind of when they retire to sort of try to find what's next. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So just in general, let's go to regular people. That's when you retire, right? You don't just like, you drop your 9-to-5 and then you're like, oh, what do I do next? The best people who retire well, let's say, they're already doing things already like 5 to 7 years ahead of time, setting it up, you know, setting up their business, setting up But like LeBron James, right? You see him positioning right now, moving to LA for his production company, all his businesses. It's like that is the key, you know, setting it up, right? But the NFL, all these professional sports are really unique because sometimes it's unexpected. This like you get chopped, right? You literally get cut. You know, think about Chad Johnson, you know, when he just got cut. He got cut from Miami and it's just like, downward spiral, downward spiral anyway, but it's like that's the unique part of this professional sports, which fascinates me so much, because we see the same thing when people in their 50s get cut, they could get cut too, right? Downsizing or get fired. Mm-hmm. They have the worst time in recovering. Hmm.
True. Yeah. I want to shift. So, I mean, I think this is great background for Gronk and for people who might be coming out of retirement. But let's shift to Tom Brady, which is the opposite, right? So he's 43.
I think he'll be 43 by the time season starts. Well, if there's a season, when it starts.
God bless him. 43 years old and refuses to retire. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, who do you see who might be retiring sooner rather than later? You can't say Tom Brady. Somebody else. And don't make it obvious. Like, don't say Adam Vinatieri. But, like, again, similar prediction. Like, who else is going to be – who else is going to be retiring soon?
Oh, who's going to retire soon, right?
Yeah.
So somebody I kept my eye on who does have a lot of injuries and it's a really grueling position, Julio Jones, you know, even though he's I think he's just – there's just – it's so demanding, right? And though as a wide receiver right now, and he's been riddled with injuries. So I think Julio Jones, especially as the Falcons are becoming less and less relevant, honestly, they're becoming less of a power. So I think Julio Jones, somebody who I think might come back if the situation is right and still has it. I think Eli Manning, you know, just because you know, he retired under his own accord, but if the right situation comes, let's just say quarterback gets lost, they're going to call, they might call Eli and inquire, hey, here's a chip that, here's a chip opportunity for you, right?
Yeah.
Even and though
they, I'm a GM, I don't want Eli.
No?
You see his noodle-ass arm last year, man? He can barely make a throw to the outside. Well,
I mean, the same thing happened with, wasn't it Jay Cutler? Jay Cutler came out of retirement because they had
Jay Cutler has a rocket.
Wasn't it in Miami? Didn't Miami need a quarterback and they had Jay come back for a bit? That was cool. Yeah.
Smoking Jay. Cool. It's one of my favorite memes Smoke ever. Smoking Jay.
Tom, I called it. That was a total audible that I pulled on you based on our show notes. But I want to go back and maybe let's talk a little bit more about Brady. But like, so Julio Jones is a great name. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting because he's been around in the league for a while.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good chance that he might hang it up pretty soon. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, he's played for a while. That was a good call.
Like at the height though, man. I mean, he's still a top five wide receiver when he's healthy, right? Kind of going back to what you were saying before, Tom, when he's healthy. But he's
a decent amount of injuries though. Yeah. I guess the real question though, back to Brady is why hasn't Brady retired?
It's the same reason why, Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't retired yet, right? The Fitzmagic, right? He's on his eighth team now, right? He's on the Dolphins now, I think. And there's a demand there, right? There's a demand there, especially for backup QBs, right? There's just a demand there, and people love the volatility that he brings, right? Full disclosure, I'm a Jets fan, right? And I saw him, right? He was magic. He was like, wow, this is the savior, right? Just like he was for the Bills. And then even before that, I watched him in the Rams, right? When he first began. And it's like, wow, this – but then he stunk so bad. And it's like, oh, man, they paid him his money, and then he was terrible. So it's like that volatility. Same thing with Tampa Bay. Yeah. You saw that too. People, GMs, they love that, right? Leadership, like maybe – but we could maybe the under right circumstances he could just thrive and be consistent, right?
Dude, Fitz is the example of volatility from quarterback, right? Like, especially I'm thinking about, of course, from a fantasy perspective. Like, how many times have you been like, all right, fuck it, I'm getting Fitz this week, and he's gonna put up four TDs. He throws like seven picks, you know? Like, he's come 100% volatility always, but because of that, like you're saying, he's super enticing, and that I think that really helps make sense of a lot of things.
Yeah, people love that. But Brady, he's the most consistent person, right? He's consistent, and I think he's a name, right? That's also something I call this intangible assets, right? There's a cachet that he brings, you know, when people come, say they bring a championship caliber like attitude to a locker room. So, and he, you know, he has a T12 like company, right? He makes his body right during the off season and during the season as well. So there's still a demand there on the psychological presence that he he brings beyond like the physical abilities that he still brings.
Yeah. So getting back to Brett's question a little bit, I mean, in some ways the Brady thing doesn't make sense because he's set, right? He has plenty of cash. He's set up for after football with these ventures. His wife makes even more money than he does. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that keeps him playing? What is it that keeps him motivated and engaged when it seems like there's no reason at 43 he should be doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. You could ask him. You could get him on the pod, right, to ask him. But as a proxy.
TB12, what up?
Yeah, TB, what up? Coming. So one thing is I've seen is, you know, how you always tie Brady with Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Right, that whole thing. But just like Jordan, we see in his documentary, there's always something else to prove if you're super competitive. And that's something that you don't take away. So being able, they've created this chapter, but can they do it on their own, right? That's the fire, right, that gets reignited, that motivation. So can you start something on your own? Because I think that's the big motivation behind that, right? Both for Belichick and for Brady. This is our legacy, but
interesting.
What legacy can I bring? You know, what unique part of it?
It's like self-actualization. Like, can I be my own successful entity in this league without my kind of other half? Disentangle my legacy from this other guy.
Exactly, exactly.
But it sounds like everyone's kind of searching for that. Like, people who have retired, you know, when Gronk retires, whether it be for injuries or whatever, he's still wrestling. He's still doing other things. When other players retire, like, who was it? Bledsoe got into viticulture. He has a vineyard. Like, it seems like whether players stay or the players leave, you don't stop. You continue trying to self-actualize. You continue trying to compete or do something. It seems obvious because, like, what is life if not to be lived? You don't just sit around in retirement doing nothing.
Yeah.
Is that the case? Is it that everyone's just sort of searching for that something that drives them?
Yeah, this is my whole line of study in terms of the mental health. Like, what is my purpose? Right? What is my meaning? What is the meaning in life? Right? This is where everybody, it's like a personal search. And when I talk about meaning, we could break it down. It means like self, it's personal significance, right? Like, sports could mean a lot to us, but for somebody like a hipster in Silver Lake, right, doesn't mean anything to them, right? So it's this personal significance is really the key, what everybody's looking for. And this is also a moving target, right? It's a moving target, but some people keep on the target too long, right? And the target's already left, right? They're trying to recapture that old glory. So being able to adapt, being agile is the key, right? Especially for purpose and meaning search.
So you're saying that what it is that brings us significance, what it is that brings us purpose and meaning shifts throughout our lives. So for these guys that are in the league, that's the thing that's going to bring them purpose and meaning. And once they retire, you're saying that the best predictor of them retiring well is finding something else that can bring them purpose and meaning. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yes, that's exactly online. Yeah, and then but the best way to do that is you have to sample like all these people are doing, and you sample a little bit during prior to your career ending. Yeah, it requires a lot of foresight too. Yeah. But it's also like, when you're a professional athlete, you have more options, right? You have more opportunities to do things. So you just figure out, what are you good at, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of like me, like wanting to be a parent and just thinking that I could film a podcast and live my life and be a parent at the same time.
Yeah.
And obviously I
can barely hear her, bro. I can barely hear her. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine, dude. It's cute.
Yeah.
Tom, you are a legend. You are a scholar. You are a $5 holler scholar. This was great, man. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. This was amazing.
Thanks, Tom.
No, yeah, let's definitely do this again, man. This is fun. I love talking to you guys. It gets me out. You guys are actually applying a lot of the knowledge base that I know, and I just love talking to you guys, and keep up the great work.
We'll have you back real soon. Please rate and subscribe. We're on a podcast as well. So we're audio. We're obviously on YouTube as well. You can find us on Twitter @HeadGamePsych. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Brett Levine. You can find that guy at BD Rosenberg, PhD. Tom, you're at Prof Teachand. Do you want to pitch your lab or your work?
I guess this is my lab right there, the Party Lab. We try to make research. We try to make research fun for aging adults and their families. We build holograms for people and do other work. Such, I didn't get into the mentoring work, but we do a lot of this mentoring underserved communities, especially to become researchers and in these STEM careers. So it's just cool, but this is like the cool stuff. You apply that knowledge, statistics, to passions like this. So this is pretty dope, and I hope they see this and like, oh, learning stats is for a reason. Learning math is for a reason.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, really great work. You know, really interesting stuff you're doing with your lab, and obviously great application for sports. So like I said, we'd love to have you back. Head Games also is blogging on Psychology Today, so you can read about some of the stuff, some of the topics that we're covering as well. The show is edited and produced by Joshy Boy, Josh Baca. Thanks so much.